This is the Rise Up Sea Red podcast, all about the Arizona Cardinals and the NFL, featuring insider and outsider perspectives. Enjoy the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Now here are your hosts, Jess Root and Seth Cox.
Hello, Arizona Cardinals fans, and welcome to the latest edition of the Rise Up Sea Red podcast. I'm your host, Jess Root from CardsWire.com. My co-host is Seth Cox from RevengeOfTheBirds.com. Seth has got sources. I've got media access. We're both big fans of the Cardinals and have been for some time. And so you get that inside and outside perspective. This is show 196 of the podcast, and we are full into training camp with the first preseason game this week. And so we're here in this episode, in this edition, to talk about everything that, well, that kind of goes with it. So we've got injuries, like there seems to always be with the Cardinals. We've got injuries and depth charts and position battles and a preseason game to look forward to. So it is officially, while the Cardinals football season is here this week, Seth, it's the preseason, but it's still football.
It is, and it's going to be really fun football because we're going to get a ton of Josh Rosen. We're going to get quite a bit of Chase Edmonds and TJ Logan, and all those guys are going to be incredibly enjoyable to watch, not just, you know, in the preseason, but hopefully in the regular season. So it's going to be fun. We're going to get a little bit of a preview this weekend, but as you and I talked about off there, I think it's going to be more of like a teaser, not a preview.
Well, and that's as we'll talk about later on in the show, how the preseason game number one, I never look at preseason one, game one or two for team results. I'm looking at position battles and I'm looking at individuals, bubble players, and ideally you see a little bit of rhythm with the first team. That's something I look for more in game three, but preseason game one is still real football. It's just not with all real NFL players. It's some pretend NFL players for now, I'd say, as respectfully as I possibly can, because every single one of these players on these 90-man rosters are working their tails off and deserve to be in the positions they are. So that, remember, as you're listening to this show, we are not bagging on these players as garbage human beings, that they're terrible players. There's only so many spots on the roster. And the reality is half the players who play will not be on any NFL roster this year.
And, you know, it's one of those things where you're going to get a lot of guys that'll be selling insurance and running coaching clinics and helping out in high school and college football playing this weekend. But we are going to get a chance to see Josh Rosen. And that's obviously the main draw for everybody. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, there's other players we're semi-excited to watch, but there's no other player in the NFL at this juncture that Cardinals fans care as much about as Josh Rosen, because he basically holds the keys to whether or not this is another successful run, or if we as Cardinals fans are going to go back to being the same old Cardinals and you know, burying our heads in the sand in October. And so everybody waits to see what Rosen brings to the table.
And that's kind of the fun. But before we start getting into hardcore training camp position battles, we do have to talk about, which is the yearly important player who goes down for a season-ending injury. This time it's center A.Q. Shipley. Very untimely. He's in the last year's his contract as a 32-year-old. He has been the most consistent lineman the last two. In fact, the only offensive lineman to not miss a game the last 2 years, and he can't even make it to the preseason opener, and he is gone for the year, which opens the door to we shouldn't be terribly surprised because that's why they drafted him in the third round. But Mason Cole, unless he fails miserably, will be the starting center moving forward. And that means as we're going to talk about, that has lots of implications across the roster, right?
It does. I think it changed the chance for a couple guys to make the roster. I think, somebody we'll talk about has a better chance now that, you know, unfortunately, AQ Shipley's out. When you look at it, there's been some, I would say, slight surprises on the offensive line, kind of the depth chart so far. But then there's also been these other battles, position battles that we're going to get into that just, they've been fun to watch, but there's not really been any surprises in them. Maybe surprises in the, to some because of draft pedigree and things like that. But from kind of what we talked about when we previewed the season, there hasn't been any real surprises yet.
No, not really. But so we set up, it's almost as if the, of all the positions that this could have happened at, Shipley going down was one of the few positions where they were really kind of prepared for something to happen like this, because they drafted a guy in Cole who was a four-year starter at Michigan, who not only was a four-year starter, was a left tackle for three out of those 4 years, even not being a natural left tackle. So he was the best lineman, most important and best lineman on their team for four seasons. And the first freshman offensive lineman to start their freshman year as a starter. He never missed a game. He missed a practice because he was puking up his guts one game, but he hasn't missed a game since before high school. And while we all thought, well, this is going to be, no, it turned out to be this exact scenario where something happens and he has an opportunity. You believe, am I correct in saying that you were bullish on Cole's future and his ability to kind of grab hold of that position and not only survive, but thrive even as a rookie?
Right. And we talked about this 2 weeks ago on the last show. And I said, don't, you know, one of the guys that I saw really kind of being a under the radar guy was Cole. And like I said, I know he was a third round pick, but he's just very, very talented. And people I talked to, that have been out to camp, he's the first offensive lineman that gets talked about. Every person that goes out to camp, whether it's a guy like Kyle Posey, who is a Chargers fan that lives in Arizona now, that ventured his way out there. First off,
happens to be, by the way, he's on my network now.
Yeah, he is. Yes. And he's and he mentioned Cole to me. Blake Murphy with Revenge of the Birds loves what he's seen with Cole, and the people that I've talked to within the organization, they Cole is the offensive lineman that everybody's gushing about. I think you and I, and hopefully this is not a horrible miss on my part, but I think we all wanted it to be Justin Pugh. But so far it's been Mason Cole. But in the end, that might be all right, because unfortunately, like you said, AQ Shipley got hurt. He's lost for the season, torn ACL. And it was one of those situations where Saturday at the red and white practice, literally everybody knew it was bad. I mean, he limped off, I guess we should say, on his own power. But then he went into the medical tent, and when five men in the medical tent weighing over, 1,500 pounds are in that medical tent at the same time, and then a little Larry Fitzgerald meanders in there too, it's not good news.
Well, right, and Fitz is kind of the thing, is NFL players know when something's serious, and I remember back in 2012, and they're in the preseason when Levi Brown went down. And there is this one quote from Larry that revealed that he knew that it was serious. That quote didn't end up getting transcribed in some of the stuff that the team put out, but players know. And Fitz in particular seems to be real honed in on those type of things. It took till Monday. It was very, very... bad timing in the fact that it was the last practice for an off day. And so unless someone nationally was going to break it, because as we know here locally, our local reporters wait. They wait. And apparently AQ Shipley's isn't a big enough name for the national guys to,
no,
to kind of scoop it. But nonetheless, torn ACL.
Like he's not. Yeah.
And, you know, the downside to this, he's the exactly the type of offensive lineman in terms of mentality and toughness and grittiness. Some things that Steve Wilkes has talked. He was the leader on the offensive line. Let's not make any mistake about that. When Jared Valdir was here, he was the leader on the offensive line without question, even from the time he joined the team. This offseason, when it looked like it would be easy for the Cardinals to move on from AQ Shipley, because, you know, he's traditionally been a player that teams are always trying to replace because physically he just doesn't quite match what they want. But he was, ever since the offseason, the unquestioned leader on that line. And that's the side that is the hard part, because now you have to – DJ Humphreys needs to step up, but he hasn't become that yet. Mike Iupati isn't vocal enough to be the leader. He's a quiet, goofy player. Now you've got the rookie in Cole, Justin Pugh, and Andre Smith. They're newcomers, but they did not come into the sin out. Andre Smith can probably be that guy, but as Steve Wilkes alluded to, he even came to the offseason out of shape. So it's not as that. So they need someone to step up and kind of become the leader of that line. And so that's what they're going to lose in Shipley. In terms of physical ability, Cole's more talented. It's just a matter of will he be able to overcome rookie, you know, inexperience at the position?
And the thing is with Shipley, the thing you and I have talked about ad nauseum about Shipley is physical limitations. It's always physical with Shipley. It's never meant. And that's why a guy like Shipley or a guy like Lyle Cindeline can be in the NFL with all of their so-called physical limitations. Again, Jess and I aren't saying this because Jess and I could go out and do this.
No. This.
When you get those players against the average player, you know, Mason Cole is the average size center, 6'4", 310 pounds. AQ Shipley, they list him at 6'2". He's probably a little closer to 6'1", and he embraces the fact that he literally has T-Rex arms. I mean, he has very, very short arms. He's he's kind of built like a fire hydrant. You would look at him and go, oh, you have a fullback on your roster type thing. Like, you're not looking at him as a starting center, but he's incredibly intelligent at the position, calling out the protections, understanding the shifts, where the blitzes are coming from, all of those things that it doesn't matter how much more athletic or how much longer, or, you know, if Mason Cole can, you know, do better work in pass protection or is a more athletic center that can get to the second level better than Shipley. None of that matters if you screw up the calls initially, right? So
right.
That's the biggest thing, like you said, that they're going to lose with Shipley. It's not that you're going, oh man, I can't believe we lost this, you know, fantastic, you know, athlete and blocker. It's like, man, we lost the leader of our offensive line, the guy that's going to make all the calls, the guy that is the extension of the quarterback. We lost that, and that's harder to replace. And that is if there's a failure to Mason Cole this year or a struggle, that's where it'll be.
Now, with this, it's been no surprise that Cole is the starting center now, and Steve Wilkes said that's why we drafted him. But the interesting thing is the player who we believed was AQ Shipley's replacement in Evan Bame, who seems to have disappeared. Now, Bame and Daniel Munier will now get the first shot at being the backup center, but Evan Bame has not had the career that we believed he would have. Many believe that he would replace Shipley. Okay, of course, Shipley, the type of player he is, was not going to be replaced because of play. It was going to be because of injury or because the team decided to move on. Babe still hasn't played any center. He's only played guard. And well, I guess, sorry, guys, but we're going to get, if you're hearing that, but it sounds like you're going to get some thunder picking up on the microphone because it's thundering outside. Evan Baim still, he's played guard and not had success. He's a center. He was drafted to be a center. He still hasn't played center. And now, even this offseason, he wasn't running as the third team center. He's been the second team left guard. Now he'll get a shot with Daniel Munier, but it doesn't look optimistic, does it?
No, it doesn't. It's like you said, it's kind of weird, right? Like, drafted this guy in the fourth round, and it's not that fourth round picks are high.
He also had the same pedigree as Cole, right? Because he was a 4-year starter at Missouri, never missed a game, never missed a practice. He was like Mason Cole before Mason Cole.
Right, but it comes back to the idea of, he didn't beat out Shipley, which wasn't surprising. And then when he had his opportunity last year, fair or not, he struggled. I mean, he did. There's no way around it. He struggled as a right guard. And that became, unfortunately, who he was as a player. And so that's where he's stuck at this point until further notice, if you will. It's not so much that he's not good, but, like you said, he's playing left guard now as the backup. Like, he's not even getting rotations into the center position, until this injury. So all of a sudden you're sitting there going, oh, okay, well, whatever we thought we had in Baim, we don't. And, we're going to continue to look elsewhere. And then the injury happens. And I honestly think the injury, and obviously you never wish an injury on anybody, but I think the injury was the best thing that happened to Baim, because I think it gave him kind of a new life on this roster, because I don't think he's rostered if AQ Shipley's healthy. When you look at the offensive line, you look at obviously the five starters, if Shipley's still out there. Your backups initially were going to be Wetzel, Cole, and it sounded like Will Holden. And so then you were going to keep one more guy. And was it going to be, seventh round pick Corey Cunningham? Was it going to be, former fourth round pick Evan Baim? Or was it going to be a guy that they seemed to love in Josh Allen? No, not that Josh Allen. The Josh Allen, the offensive line Josh Allen. So usually they keep 9, maybe they keep 10 this year because of the makeup of the offensive line, in terms of, injury history. But he I think it breathed new life into the career of Evan Baim, which is unfortunate, because it's unfortunate that it took an injury to kind of give him a better shot to make this roster, because you really want those guys. We talk about it all the time. Good teams hit on their day one and day two picks. Great teams have starters that they get out of their, and contributors out of their day three picks. And just the Cardinals have not had that consistently. And you were hoping to get that with Baim at least. And it just hasn't happened yet.
And the one thing that we have to look ahead to is because this backup center might not even be on the roster. So we might not even be talking about Daniel Munier. We might not be able to talking about Evan Baim. They have to play well. If they struggle in the next preseason game or two, they're going to sign a center. And neither one of these guys will make the roster, especially if they do like Josh Allen, who can swing, who, by the way, was a center as well. In fact, when he was signed, kind of the bio on him was that he was a center. So they're moving guys all around. And so he can play guard. He can play center. He seems to be, more athletic. If that's, I don't know much about him, but it looks like Ray Brown might be having his fingerprints put on this offensive line more than we were used to before. So it's going to be less Harold Goodwin and much more Ray Brown, which requires, I'm guessing, much more athleticism.
Exactly. And you kind of you sit there and you watch what the Cardinals have had this preseason, and we semi-highlighted it yesterday. Both of us kind of talked about it a little bit. There was a play that a fan took a video of highlighting Josh Rosen's throw to Christian Kirk. And on the play, only thing that stood out to me was just how bad Robert Kimdiche beat the poor left guard. And I was thinking to myself, my God, Mike Iupati's old. And then I remembered, oh yeah, Mike Iupati's off today. Who was that?
Evan Bame.
And you're going, holy cow. Like, if that's a game, Josh Rosen is
dead.
Yeah. You're dead. Looking for his teeth somewhere. Like, that's how bad he got whooped on the play. And it's just, the athleticism is clearly lacking to play guard. I mean, we saw it under the previous regime. And so now it, you know, continues to be evident and unfortunate for Bame. But, you know, maybe he grabs a hold of that backup center position now and wins the job.
Maybe. And with that, we'll move on to our next segment of the Rise Up C-Red podcast. So coming up next, we will talk about the depth chart and the position battles that go along with that were revealed. So that's coming up next at Rise Up C-Red. I'd like to remind you guys, the listeners, as always, of our friends over at Harrys.com. But I've been talking about for months, and it's coming up on almost on a year, I think, where I made the switch from my electric razor to the Harry's blade. And I, like I told you a little while ago, when I went traveling, I didn't want to take the blade with me. So I went back to electric razor because I can put that in my carry-on. And I don't know why I ever used that. It was such better shave with the Harry's blade. And I was reminded why I loved it. It's an incredibly close shave, and it's a great price as well. So you get a high quality blade at a fraction of the cost of what you're going to get from the more expensive guys. And the quality is so much better than those disposable blades. And the offer remains for the Rise Up C-Red listeners. They stand behind the quality of the blades. And so there's a trial offer that you can get for free. Go to harrys.com/C-Red. It's a $13 value set that comes with everything that you need. It comes with the weighted ergonomic handle. You get a 5-blade razor. It comes with the lubricating strip, the trimmer blade. You get some wonderful shave gel to go with it, and the travel blade cover. And you can try it out. I promise you, if you will enjoy these blades, and the fact that they sell them for about half of what the leading brand does, just $2 a blade compared to $4 or more. If you don't love their shape, let Harry's know within 30 days. You can get a full refund, but you don't even have to pay anything to start up. Get the trial set. It's at harrys.com/C-Red. Redeem the offer and let them know that we sent you to help support the show. Again, that's harrys.com/C-Red. We're back at the Rise Up C-Red podcast for this section of the show. And it's time to talk about, you know, the position battles and the depth chart. The Cardinals just released their first unofficial depth chart for the preseason game, and there was a few things that stood out in particular. And some position battles we've been watching in particular are at receiver, at cornerback, and with the sort of revelation that it looks like Marcus Golden isn't really near coming back, defensive end becomes an important position to watch. And here's how things sit right now at receivers. We'll talk receiver first. On Larry Fitzgerald signing, so they don't just list like 1 through 20 on their wide receivers. They list them by side. On one side is Larry Fitzgerald, and on the other side is Bryce Butler, the veteran. And behind Fitzgerald, it's Chad Williams, Christian Kirk, Trent Shurtfield, the undrafted rookie who's got all the attention, C.J. Duncan, and Rashad Ross. While behind Butler goes J.J. Nelson, Greg Little, who is also making a lot of noise in camp, Carlton Agudosi, Jalen Tolliver, and Corey Willis. So, first of all, we know that as of right now, Bryce Butler is the number 2 receiver. What else do you take away from this list?
I think, as you said, the wide receiver depth chart is really intriguing and slightly unsurprising. I think looking at it, you knew that they wanted Bryce Butler to win that job. Thus far, he's doing that. I think the biggest takeaway for me is this. Is J.J. Nelson on this football team come September 9th or whenever the first game is? I don't see him on this team.
It's really – at first, the way he was getting reps, I thought he maybe could. But here's the thing. With two names that have been – that emerged that continue to get praise from Steve Wilks, one is the undrafted rookie out of Vanderbilt, Trent Sherfield, who you've heard from people in the organization. They love him. I've heard from people who have heard from within the organization, and plus what Wilks has said himself, Sherfield, if he stays healthy, is probably a lock for this roster. And then Greg Little, his emergence from, you know, this is a guy who was a 2011 second round pick, looked good, but then got progressively worse each of the next 3 years. He hasn't played an NFL game since 2014, and he wasn't even on any NFL roster since 2016. And he is making a move. I'm not saying he's making a move to number two receiver, but he has been getting first team reps in practice. J.J. Nelson is an interesting character because he is the old – he is a Bruce Arians receiver through and through. He does give the Cardinals an element that really no one else has exactly, of that just that pure speed. But being in year four and with a $1.9 million salary, if I had to number things – well, while according to what I figure the depth chart looks like right now, he is technically number four. But you know they're keeping Fitz. They're going to keep Butler. They're probably keeping Chad Williams. He's going to have to be bad. Christian Kirk. So there's four spots that are guarantees. So do they keep five? Do they keep six? As of right now, you give one of those spots to Trent Sherfield, and it's either J.J. Nelson or Greg Little. And right now, Greg Little probably gives you a little bit more.
Well, and the other thing is this. When you look at the roster – they're so thin at tight end right now that they may have to keep three or four, which means they could be dumping a wide receiver that they would normally keep. Like you said, you're probably, you know, usually you're probably keeping six, but with the way that this tight end room is playing out, where you have Ricky Seals-Jones and then a bunch of guys –
because Gresham's going to take a roster spot, because
they put him on the PUP. They're not. He's not,
and he's going to be ready for the season. I mean, he's going to be ready, and he might not be like 100%, but he's out there walking around. He's not going to start the season on PUP and miss the first 6 weeks of the year. So he's going to be on the roster. So they're going to need at least two other tight ends on that roster, guaranteed.
Yeah, so, and then like we talked about, the offensive line, what do they do? Do they keep 10? I mean, all these numbers. And then the other thing that, you know, we haven't talked about yet, it really seems like they're going to keep four running backs and two fullbacks and possibly two.
Yeah, that's the thing. So, you know, it's going to be like at running back. You got David Johnson, Chase Edmonds, T.J. Foster, T.J. Logan. I mean, Sherman Beatty, sorry. But you're going to keep Derek Coleman, so it's five running backs. And
do they
keep Penny? I mean, that's the thing. So maybe, I mean, you might go with Penny if you only keep you keep five receivers, you do three tight ends, and you do two fullbacks. Because Penny's done a little bit of work, like as an H-back as well in practice. We haven't seen it in camp, but it gives you a little bit of versatility there because he does have a little more size. But yeah, at receiver, it's really interesting because, well, here's the thing. Here's the thing that probably people are a little bit surprised at. Christian Kirk, as of right now, would be receiver number five. And that's not a knock on Kirk, but pay attention. Pay attention to what Steve Wilks says. Pay attention to what guys like Mike Jarecki, who do have connections with the organization, pay attention to what they're saying. Christian Kirk is going to make an impact on special teams. this year. He's going to be the punt returner, more than likely. Steve Wilks just talked about how much they love him on special teams. And I was just thinking the other day as I was listening to those comments from Wilks, and it's like, he's Buda Baker. Well, there's lots of high hopes for him because they loved Buda Baker coming out of college. There just wasn't a spot for him in the defense. There's no spot for Kirk on the offense right now. He's going to be a special team stud. And then in year two, he's going to have the opportunity.
And then the other really interesting thing on the offensive side was DJ Foster is your third running back. I wondered if he was going to make the team. And now it seems like it's more of a question, will TJ Logan make the team? But they love Logan as a kick returner right now.
Oh, yeah.
And the thing is this, Logan and Foster are pretty similar size profile type players. So I don't think either, you know, I could see them cutting one, but I think they're going to keep both because they like both. And they use them in different ways, despite the fact that they do similar type things. So, you know, when you look at it overall, it's going to be the offense is going to be really hard to figure out. Like when we do our show for the final 53, I'm going to probably throw some darts at names.
Well, and there's always just a guess anyway, so that's
it
fine.
Is. It is.
So at cornerback, let's look at the cornerback position. For me, there were some clear surprises on there, and it's not at the top. Patrick Peterson's the start on one side. Jamar Taylor is on the other side. But let's look at how the depth chart is built. On the Patrick Peterson side, his backup on his side of the field is Chris Campbell, the rookie sixth-round pick, followed by Lou Young, Tavier Thomas, and Jonathan Moxie. On the other side, it goes Taylor, B'nai Ben-Wickery, Brandon Williams, and Dietrich and Nichols, and another undrafted rookie. Now, here's how I've seen playing time doled out in practice. It seemed to me that Jamar Taylor and Brandon Williams were sort of neck and neck because I'd see Taylor out there and I'd see Williams out there with first team. And even on some like just positional drills with the defense, when they're up against, you know, basically air, they'd have Jamar Taylor up front and Williams would be shadowing him. But B'nai Ben-Wickery, the guy that played for Wilks, and I've really only seen playing in this where I've seen him is playing in the second team slot, is he's ahead of Brandon Williams. And then Chris Campbell, who apparently has moved up ahead of Jonathan Moxie and Lou Young, who were both getting second team snaps for the first few days of camp, that Chris Campbell's moved his way up.
And you and I talked about Campbell right after the draft and how he really seemed like the one guy that they drafted that fit the Wilks mold, the big, kind of slightly oversized cornerback that can move, that's physical, likes to tackle. Those are Wilks guys. And when you look at Young and those guys that you mentioned, you know, Tavier Thomas, Dietrich Nixel, Jonathan Moxie, none of them are kind of are like Campbell in that way. The one guy that is like you said, is Brandon Williams. But at the same time, sometimes you got to call it like you see it. And I think you and I have done a nice job with that. I think we've been very, you know, kind of honest with everything. And we've seen that maybe Williams a good pick overall. And we're to the point now where, you know, he's coming in on the third team. Obviously, this is depth chart one of what will we get? Six before the season starts. And, you know, there's going to be some changes and God forbid there's going to be injuries. So maybe there's some changes, but when you look at that, that is, I think, probably the worst thing that you could have seen on all of the roster thus far was, you know, a third round pick from 2 years ago being behind a six round pick from this year. That's not where you want it to be.
No. And really kind of emphasizes some of the issues that we've had in the draft the past couple of years. Because if you look at, you know, Brandon Williams and Evan Bame were both players who were expected, who were believed to develop into starters. And neither one is anywhere close right now. With Brandon Williams, I thought was close. I thought Jamar Taylor definitely was going to be the guy, but that Brandon Williams would be right behind him. And I'm surprised by the depth chart to see that that's apparently not the case. At defensive end, with Marcus Golding apparently not quite near where he needs to be, that obviously could change. That second defensive end spot becomes incredibly important. And early on, I was shocked because when camp first started, who was getting first team reps but a guy named Vontarious Dora? And I joked with you off the air, I had no idea what a Vontarious Dora even was. It would sound like what you like to say, that's a fake person. That's not really a person. He was with the first team. And after him, it was Benson Mayo and Arthur Motes. And I learned from some people who had been following the team early on is that the guy that they cut when they made a roster addition, Praise something Oguike, Praise Martin Oguike, he was running first team reps as well. And so, but the depth chart comes out and it is Benson Mayoa, which at the beginning of the offseason seemed like a no-brainer, but now we apparently he's seeing some improvement again. And so it's Benson Mayoa, Vontarious Dora, and Arthur Motes as the third stringer guy that they just signed. Now, he hasn't really played defensive end. He's played the same type of thing as an edge player. And then on the other side behind Chandler Jones would be Jaquise Smith, who really he's the guy that has been a real defensive end before, but outside of his first couple of years, he hasn't done. He's only played, I think, like four games in the last 2 years. So he really hasn't flashed yet. It really comes down to three players, Benson Mayoa, Vontarious Dora, and Arthur Motes. And it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out, because if run defense matters, we might see Dora or Motes in base with Mayoa coming in as the third down pass rusher guy.
And I think that's what we're going to see. I think you've kind of hit it on the head. That's where this is headed, where Dora or Motes are kind of your base defensive end. And then Mayoa starts out there. And then from there you have Mayoa run the pass rush specialist, who then evolves into Marcus Golden, you know, the base guy, and then Marcus Golden, the full-time player type thing. And so I think it's really important that we see two good defensive ends there, because that's what, you know, Marcus Golden gave you. Was it wasn't just a nice, or I shouldn't say nice, a very good secondary pass rusher. It was a guy that you could leave on the field all three downs and not have any concerns. You don't want that to change with having to play Mawaya or Motes or Dora. Like, that's just not what you want. You want a guy, you know, so if it has to be two guys right now, it's two guys, but you need those guys to do their job well. So you also don't have to rush Marcus Golden back, because that's the other thing. Golden tore his ACL in October, so it's not like he's a year out already. I mean, he's still 10 months out. We're still talking, you know, another 2 months before he's even supposed to be at 80%. You know, he won't be 100% till next season. And so when you look at it, really, you just don't want to push it.
And other than that, there's nothing really to talk about on the depth chart. I mean, the one thing for me that was really notable was on Saturday's practice is when Deon Buchanan was out, they didn't trust any of their second team linebackers to play linebacker with the first team. They just stuck with nickel. So don't get hurt, anybody, for real.
Right? Like, this whole Daniel Buchanan thing was the kind of wake up call that you and I have been talking about with each other of like, man, I really don't think these linebackers are that good behind the starters. Like, this is a problem. And then Daniel Buchanan gets hurt. And we had talked about it, you know, a couple weeks ago, like they weren't, like Josh Bynes was playing less than 50% of the snaps when it was all three guys healthy. And then Deion gets hurt and he goes to 100% of the snaps and nobody else is playing linebacker. Like, whoa. So you're just giving the offense nickel base nickel looks in it,
not that Buda Baker's a bad player, but here's the thing. As much as you want to put your best players on the field against those ace packages that the offense is going to put out there, two tight ends or two running backs, Baker's going to get eaten up.
Oh yeah. And it's going to be kind of that whole, it'll start to be a concern where he's being overworked because you don't have enough talent on the field and or on the roster period. And because you don't have anybody that can play for Reddick or Dale if they get hurt. So, you know, it's a problem, but let's be honest too. There's not really an answer. It's August. If there was an answer, they'd be in here already.
That's very true.
It's one of those situations. They didn't address it this year. They felt comfortable moving forward with Buchanan, Reddick, and Bynes, and they're going to have to sit with that. And you know, God forbid, unless there's a serious injury, like you said.
Now, the one thing that was also it's not a surprise, but we finally got to see what it looks like. TJ Logan does not look like he's going to be doing any punts this year. It'll be TJ Logan on kick returns with JJ Nelson backing it up right now. Christian Kirk will be the punt returner with Rashad Ross behind him. We'll probably see a couple other guys take those during the game, but at least you see, you know, TJ Logan in his, you know, partial game looked good as a punt returner. He never did it in college. He practiced it, but he never returned punts in college. He was dynamic as a kick returner. Christian Kirk, on the other hand, was a dynamic punt returner in college. So the return game should be in good shape, and they've got guys and depth on the roster. Because Rashad Ross, he's not going to make the roster. JJ Nelson might not make the roster, but they've got other guys on the team. TJ can do punts. DJ Foster can return as well. You can look at the back of the end receivers. Patrick, of course, can also do that. I believe Chris Campbell did a little bit of punt return, did he? Am I correct?
I believe he did, yes.
And so you've got a little bit of that back there. So that's kind of set. So other than that, the position battles that we're going to be looking at, those are the main ones. We're going to be looking at defensive end. We're going to be looking at receiver. We're going to be looking at cornerback. And obviously now we're going to look a little bit at center. But we'll talk about that in a moment as we come back from the next section of Rise Up Sea Red. And we're going to talk about what we're looking for in the final, in this preseason opener. That's coming up next on Rise Up Sea Red. We're back on Rise Up Sea Red. We're going to wrap up this section, this edition of the show, number 196. And we're going to talk about what we are looking for this week. What we know is that the starters are going to play a certain amount. And among that certain amount, three guys in particular, Sam Bradford, David Johnson, and Larry Fitzgerald, won't play as long as the other starters, if they play at all. Steve Wilks made it sound like they would get a few reps. Sam Bradford makes it sound like that he does want to get out there and get some timing on the field. But David Johnson, Larry Fitzgerald, will I don't know. But preseason doesn't matter for, at least for Johnson and Fitz, preseason doesn't matter for them. Bradford, preseason matters a little, at least in terms of, hey, please don't get hurt.
Right. And when you look at this game, it's one of those games where I think you want to see Sam Bradford take a snap from under center, hand the ball off to not David Johnson, and then kind of walk back to the sideline and then just be done. Like, you want to make sure that the ghost of Sam Bradford is real. Right, and not the option that we've been given all offseason, and then, you know, wrap him and Fitz and David Johnson and bubble wrap till week two of the preseason, and then maybe give him a series and stuff like that. But the reality is this. We just went over you know, in kind of a hurry, the depth chart of the Arizona Cardinals. And the 2015 Arizona Cardinals, this team is not. I mean, let's just be honest. This is not a team where you're going, oh, you've got Michael Floyd and, you know, healthy John Brown, and your fourth receiver is Jerron Brown, and you've got a rookie in J.J. Nelson, and, you know, oh, you've got Chris Johnson, who was on pace for 1,000 yards, and then you have David Johnson, who had over 1,000 total yards as a rookie, and, you know, you've got all these weapons all over the place. Like, that's not what this is. This is, you have Larry Fitzgerald and David Johnson, and everything after that, you're going, let's see what happens. And so, moreover, that you need those two healthy, you need these other guys to show what they have. And I know the preseason isn't 100% where you find out, but it at least is game-like situations that we'll be able to see, okay, Bryce Butler, can you be more than a 350-yard receiver? Seals Jones, were you a two-game wonder, or are you a guy that is now can be a 16-game starter in the NFL? You know, Chase Edmonds, are you just beating up on a defense that's trying to learn a new system and is missing some key talent, or are you a stud? On the same side, you know, Robert Kimdiche, are you really that much, you know, of a baller right now? Or are you just beating up on a really bad interior offensive line of the Arizona Cardinals? Like, there are just, you know, there are guys that can prove themselves starting Saturday. And for me, those guys are not named Sam Bradford, David Johnson, or Larry Fitzgerald.
Right. For me, the kind of players I want to see, well, I think we said it, you just talked about it at the beginning of the show. Really, this is all about Josh Rosen, right? You want to see Josh Rosen come out because they're going to give him first team snaps. They're going to give him snaps behind the first team offensive line, throwing to receivers not named Larry Fitzgerald, which means we want to see what he actually looks like against another team. We've heard how bright he is, how aware he is, how talented he is, how, you know, basically if he has time, that he's going to pick you apart. Can he do it? And what happens if he gets, you know, popped in the mouth once or twice? Will he start to look like a skittish rookie? Or does he show promise? Does he show the promise of a, you know, an Andrew Luck or a few years ago, or even a Russell Wilson? Or does he turn into Blaine Gabbert? And let's not forget that sort of happened already to someone. But players that I want to stand out, Robert Kimdiche is one. I want to see him dominate in the short time that he's out there. I want to see Hassan Reddick all over. I want to see him in or around every play. And then I want Benson Mayoa or someone to look good on the edge, either holding up against the run or making some moves against the passes. Because right now, this is different like last year. Remember, we were all excited about watching Blaine Gabbert, and we were like, okay, we want to see him be the best player on the field, and pretty much he was. We want to see some of that from these players. I want to see if Bryce Butler is getting some reps on the second team just out of necessity or whatever, how they do that. I want to see him make plays. When you've got Josh Rosen throwing to Chad Williams and J.J. Nelson, how do they look against the second teamers? How does Evan Bain hold up if he's playing center? It's these guys at the back of the roster. Are they going to flash? Who's going to be the player? Because we've already heard there's a couple of players that have been. Trent Sherfield is the one undrafted guy that you're going like, oh yeah, he's the guy to watch. Other names that have been kind of thrown out there by some of those following the team, around the team, a guard left Will House out of the Southern Nazarene, some talk Dennis Gardeck, the linebacker, but Corey Willis is a guy that Seth's super intrigued in. But who's going to be the undrafted guy that catches everyone's eyes? Because it happens every single year. Who will it be this year? Is it going to be Sherfield, or is it going to be someone else?
And for me, I think you want to see, you know, all those guys that you mentioned. I'm really interested in Edmonds. I really want to see what Chase Edmonds has. I don't even know how much he's going to play. Because they may be thinking so highly of him that he gets the first quarter and then, you know, the second quarter is DJ Foster's, the third quarter is TJ Logan, and then poor Sherman Beatty gets to be run into the ground.
Oh, just wait. Just you wait till that preseason game four when it is the Sherman Beatty and Elijah Penny show.
Yep. And then, you know, I am interested in the second team offensive line because I think there are a ton of question marks out there. I think there's a ton of question marks on the starters, but I'm pretty sure the five guys up front are entrenched in their positions. Even Mason Cole at this point. But like I said, is Will Holden the lock for the roster? You know, he's not a Brown and Wilkes guy. you know, what about Evan Bain? You know, what about this Josh Allen kid? You know, does John Wetzel continue to be your Swiss Army knife offensive lineman? There are a lot of questions right there along the offensive line. And then I really am interested to see what these other corners have. So what does Chris Gamble have? Is he a guy that's going to flourish in this Steve Wilkes, Al Holcomb scheme? I think we're going to see, you know, get a small sliver of that on Saturday. It's not going to be much, but we'll get a little bit, and it'll give us, you know, an idea of what to look forward to for week two and especially week three of the preseason.
And with that, I mean, another thing I want to see, I want to make sure that TJ Logan doesn't get hurt returning kicks in his first game because he looks so good. Oh, Brandon Williams.
Where is he? Yeah, exactly. Right. Where is he?
Because at the end of the preseason last year, he started to look like a cornerback. It was first the rookie year. He was like, oh, what? Okay, he's battling out there, but he clearly looked out of position. The first half of the preseason was more of the same, but the last couple of games of the preseason, he actually looked like a cornerback. I want to see, what does he look like? Does he look like a cornerback, or what has, you know, obviously Steve Wilkes is a DB guy. Has he been able to change anything?
Exactly. And that's what I think, you know, not to circle back too much, but that's why I was so disappointed when that depth chart came out, right? Like we weren't getting hopes up, but we're definitely going, all right, let's see Brandon Williams, you know, just behind Jamar Taylor as the second guy and maybe the guy that comes on in dime packages. And now you're going, is Brandon Williams even going to be on this roster in 4 weeks? Like, is he going to make this team? And so it's super frustrating that's where it happened. And maybe, like you said, maybe he begins to make that up starting Saturday, and hopefully he does.
And with that, we'll come to the close of this edition of the Rise Up Sea Red podcast. We will be back next week. So we're now officially on, unless stuff happens, a weekly show. So we've got some stuff to talk about. We'll react to the first preseason game. We will be, the Cardinals will actually wrap up training camp next week and go into regular practice mode. They will play next Friday on the road against the New Orleans Saints. Then the important one will be on the road the following Sunday night in Dallas. And then they'll close the preseason as always against the Denver Broncos. And then the real stuff comes. But we will be talking. We'll be back next week. We'll talk more about what's been going on, reacting to the game, who's moving up and down the charts, and more for that. So with that, that's Seth Cox. I'm Jess Root. We'll be back next week.
Thanks for listening to the latest edition of the Rise Up Sea Red podcast. Listen to previous episodes and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Audioboom, or many other podcast platforms so shows are delivered directly to your mobile device. Please give the show a 5-star rating and always support the sponsors who support the show. We'll be back soon for the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Rise Up Red Sea, be Red Sea Red, and of course, Rise Up Sea Red.